Hello again, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining in to the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman, and we're going to continue in our study today in the ABCs with questions often asked. And one question that we're on right now is, should Christians observe Christmas? Well, just to recap just a little bit, we were talking about idols whenever we were discussing some of the scriptures, and that's what we're interested in, is finding out what the scriptures say about these questions and whether or not it's all right with the Lord and with His Word, because the world's going to always do something different than what the Lord does. It might resemble it. It might run parallel with what the Lord says a lot of times, and a lot of times you can't tell the difference in what the truth and what a lie is because they're so close together. But the Bible breaks that up. It shows the difference between light and darkness. It shows the difference between bitter and sweet, and it shows the difference between right and wrong. And the Lord, and plus we have, we born again, children of God, the saints, the body of Christ, have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. And He is our teacher. And He illuminates the Word of God to us and the truth to us, because He is the Spirit of truth. And the Bible is the Word of truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus, before He was born and incarnated, He was the Word of God. He became Jesus when He was born in a body and incarnated into a human body. He took on flesh. God took on flesh and became man. And the man, Jesus Christ, was named Jesus. But before the incarnation, in eternity, in the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ is God's Word. He is the Word before being born, before the first advent. Okay, but getting into our study today, should Christians observe Christmas? Now, Christmas is probably, ever since I was growing up, probably the biggest celebrated holiday that, at least in America. I know that Christmas is all over the world. You see that on your television when you or wherever you want to see it. Everybody got something to do with Christmas. But what was mainly talking about when we was getting into the study last time was two things. Number one, what does it mean? What is Christmas exactly? I mean, when you're celebrating, what is Christmas? There's got to be a reason. I mean, when you celebrate a birthday, you don't just celebrate a birthday. You celebrate somebody's birthday. And that somebody has a name. And that somebody has a reputation. That somebody has a character. Somebody has a life. Somebody has an influence on everybody else that shows up at the party. Somebody has a personality. It's something that's being celebrated, somebody that's being celebrated. Well, when it comes to Christmas, what is it? There's a whole bunch of advertising that goes on that shows what Christmas is. Man says he knows what Christmas is. And he definitely celebrates it. But if you walked up to somebody and says, if you walked up to 100 people and took a survey and asked them one question, what does Christmas mean? What do you celebrate on Christmas? I bet you'd get so many different answers. Some of them would come along, compared to one another. But I bet you'd get a whole bunch of different answers. Somebody would say Santa Claus. Somebody say, well, the Lord's birth. Somebody else would say, well, we celebrate the cross. We celebrate, all kinds of different things. Well, I celebrate being off work and getting drunk. There's all kind of different reasons that people celebrate Christmas. But we're talking about Christians. We're talking about us. We're talking about what saith the Lord. Now, the scriptures that we went over last week, the ones that we did read, mainly just had to do with idols. And it began to show us in the scriptures that we're not to have anything to do with idolatry. Now you say, well, what does that got to do with Christmas? Well, it didn't have anything to do with it last week. Last week we just went over what the Bible says about the word Christmas. Well, what did we find out? We found out that the Bible mentions Christmas nowhere. Nowhere. It's not in there. So if this thing about Christmas, now just think about how big Christmas is. I mean, one of the biggest things is buying and selling. And advertising. And starting way a couple months before Christmas now. Trying to sell you something in the name of Christmas. Now, what's that called in the Bible? That's called coveting. They're teaching you to covet. They're influencing you through the media and through advertising and through everything else that you need this. And in the name of Christmas, you need to get it. And that you should buy everybody else something in the name of Christmas. I mean, there ain't nothing wrong with giving gifts. The Bible's all for giving gifts for the right reason. And it says if you give a gift for the right reason, that gift will not turn sour. That I'm saying it the way that I'm saying it, but I can give you the scripture, but I'd have to look it up. I got it right. You know how you got something in the back of your mind and it's there, but you can't pull it out when you need to? That's one of these. But it says that any gift that you give, it won't turn in the wrong direction. It'll only do good if it's done for the right reason. The Bible is not against gifts. The Lord Jesus Christ was a gift from God the Father to us. Eternal life is a gift. Being born again is a gift. You see. But Christmas. We talked about, does the Bible mention Christmas? No, it does not anywhere. Well, you'd think that the most important book in the world, written by God himself, and telling us all the important things that he wants us to know as we live in the flesh down here before we go to be with him, you would think that something that big would be talked about by the Lord. And you think, I mean, the Lord wrote down everything that he wanted us to know. And he said, whatever's not written in here, don't worry about it. I'll tell you about it later. Okay? So, Christmas not being in there, what's that tell you what the Lord thinks about it? I mean, let's just think about this a minute. If Christmas is not mentioned anywhere in the scriptures, what does that tell you that God thinks about Christmas concerning what he wants us to know about truth and right and wrong and sweet and bitter and light and darkness? He doesn't think anything about it because he didn't mention it. And maybe it doesn't exist. We talked about, did the Lord in his word ask us to remember to observe Christmas? He did ask us to remember some things and to observe some things. You remember what they were? One of them was baptism and one of them was the Lord's Supper. Those are ordinances. He ordered us to do those things. And we are to do them and to keep them. But he didn't say anything about Christmas. Does the Lord anywhere in the Old Testament, with all the Old Testament prophets and the people and the judges and everybody else, and all the people in the New Testament, ever bring up the subject of celebrating Christmas? Do you ever see Christians or the old prophets or anybody in the Old Testament, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, anybody ever, even when it's talking about something else and discussing something else, do you ever see the day of Christmas or the celebration of Christmas come about or come through the scriptures anywhere in the Old Testament and the New Testament as far as reading about the life of somebody or a truth or even when the Lord was talking about a parable or a teaching? Nowhere. It's not ever mentioned as an event or anything else. We talked about do any of the hymns that we sing. The Lord said, singing in your hearts, and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody unto the Lord. Do any of our hymns mention Christmas? Well, we went over that, and there were two in there, but they weren't discussing Christmas. When they mentioned the word Christmas, old little town of Bethlehem was talking about speaking about angels in the fourth verse. And it was not written as Christmas. It was written as Christ Mass. And then I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Now, I'm not against singing Christmas songs. I like them. But what is Christmas? I know what Christmas is to me, but I don't know what Christmas is to you. But what is Christmas to the Lord and to the Scriptures? It's not in there. And as far as idols go, and as far as doing something and celebrating something that the world celebrates, flags ought to go up everywhere with us. First thing. The Lord said, come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He said for us to be separate. Now, do any of the hymns speak of it? No, they don't. No, they don't. So, what are we to think about this thing? Well, first of all, it's not mentioned. God doesn't bring it up, and he don't tell us anything about it. Well, does the Bible tell us anywhere in the Scriptures to worship his birth? No, it doesn't. Now, Jesus Christ's birth is very precious, and it should be to us. And what a wonderful thing the Lord's done for us. But did the Lord tell us to celebrate his birth? No, he didn't. None of the prophets, they mentioned it, him being born, but even the Jews went against his birth. They killed him. Nowhere in the Old Testament, nowhere in the Scriptures in the Old Testament, the prophets prophesied him coming. They prophesied him dying. They talked more about his torture and him being whipped and him shedding his blood, and talked more about his death than they talked about his birth. And I mean all that in the utmost respect to the Lord. Of course, we celebrate the Lord's birth, but nobody knows when the Lord's birth was. People say it was December the 25th. At least that's the day they put aside for it. But is there any proof that the Lord was born on December the 25th? No, there's not. As a matter of fact, all these people that do all this deep research and all this stuff, and I got respect for people that like to search things out. The Bible says search the Scriptures. But the Lord would have told us his birthday day if he wanted us to know it. But he didn't want us to know it, so he didn't mention it. And he didn't mention his birthday at all after he was born. He grew up, he went into the temple at 12 years old, and that's the first recording that we had in the Scriptures that he even started talking about anything. And then he was talking about the Scriptures with all the smart guys up in the temple. And they were saying, where'd this boy get all this knowledge from? And then he shows back up at 30 years old with John the Baptist. And he starts preaching. And he don't preach one thing about his birth. Now, that's not to take anything away from the Lord, and the Lord knows my heart, that I'm not trying to turn anything away from your heart. I'm just talking about the Word of God. Now, why didn't the Lord bring up his birthday? Be sure to mention my birthday, and y'all celebrate my birthday. I like chocolate cake. I like this, you know. I mean, and why is this thing of Christmas mixed up with all this worldly stuff that uses the word Christmas also? There's got to be something to that, folks. I mean, we're searching for the truth, right? We're not trying to get rid of Christmas. I ain't trying to take your Christmas away from you. I'm trying to get you to understand the Scriptures. But the Scriptures don't tell us anything about Christmas, because Christmas doesn't exist in the Scriptures. Christ. You say, well, Christ's birth. Yes, Christ's birth is mentioned in the Scriptures, but nowhere in the Scriptures does it tell us to celebrate it. Is it wrong to celebrate it? No. But it don't tell us a day. It don't tell us when he was born. It don't tell us. It tells us who he was born from, where he was born, and that he was born, and who came to see him, and who tried to kill him when he was born. And then from then on, they went to Egypt, and then they came back, and then he's not mentioned until 12 years old. And then he's not mentioned until 30 years old. So the Lord didn't put, he didn't prioritize his birthday. He didn't bring that up, and he didn't make it a deal, just like he didn't talk about his mama being special like Mary is. Now there's one, the Catholics, they take Mary very seriously as a goddess. But does the Scriptures do that? No. Jesus never mentioned his mother in front of anybody else as being special. No time. Did Jesus love his mother? Of course he did. But he never mentioned her as far as being something special having to do with some kind of powers or something like that. She was a human being, a sinner. She went and made sacrifice for her uncleanness after she gave birth to Jesus. So she thought of herself as a sinner. She kept the law by taking some birds up there and having them sacrificed for her uncleanness. But this Christmas thing, we talked about that. So as far as we know right now, it's not mentioned in the Scriptures. But we talked about the Scriptures that have to do with warning us against idolatry. Now, today we're going to bring up the part of Christmas that the world defines. And I'm not no big shot when it comes to pagan stuff. I don't study it. I don't care nothing about pagan stuff. I didn't like mythology when I was in school. I thought it was devilish. I didn't like it. It was a bunch of lies, and nobody could figure out whose was who and blah-bitty-blah. It just mixed me all up. So I never got part of it. But what I done was, just for the sake of this study, I went and looked on a pagan and or looked up some information from what the pagans say today, right here, right now, and what they say about Christmas to one another. Now, as far as Christmas having to do with Christians and the study that we did in the last recording, we ain't progressed none, because there's no such thing. We have Christ's birth that we can celebrate, absolutely, but it has absolutely nothing to do with the name of Christmas. So where did Christmas come from? And why does it exist? And why is it one of the super holidays? And in whose name is it really celebrated? And what is the celebration about? Is it godly or is it wicked? Don't you think that's important to know as a Christian? And honoring the Lord? Now, a lot of Christians today are so close to the world that they think this recording right here, and this is wasted time for me to even talk about this. But I don't think there's no waste in talking about what God's Word says about anything when it comes to being a Christian. God's Word is our life. Now, when it comes to this, when you think about Christmas, we need to keep some things in mind when it comes to the birthdays and the schedule of December the 25th and stuff like that. The Jewish calendar did not run like the, what do you call it, Gregorian calendar, the Roman calendar that we go by. December was not December. December 25th is not December the 25th to the Jews. They run like 2 or 3 months different than us. December, DEC, D-E-C, means 10. Means 10. So it's actually the 10th month, not the 12th month. You see? And if you look at all the rest of them, January, February, Feb, March, April, and you look at all those, they have different numbers than what the month is actually to us. I'm not going to get you confused in all that, but the Jews' months And I ain't saying you probably know more about it than I do. I said, let me say this. I'm not going to get me any more confused about it. But December the 25th is not when the Lord was born, because that was not even the Jewish timetable. Okay? All right. But it was a different time, and there's all kinds of different reasons that they say that this is not the date. But the bottom line is, Jesus didn't tell us his birthday date in the Scriptures. So nobody knows. And nobody's going to find out. So everything else that comes about the Lord's birthday is guessing. It's just a hypothesis. This is what we think. Nobody knows. It's not told to us. Now, I can tell you my birthday, and I can prove it. And I can show you who was born, give you a picture, and even give you a live face. And scare you, but, I mean, be a live face. I can prove my birthday. But the Lord didn't tell us his. So you can't prove it. And the Lord did not instruct us to search it. He said, as a matter of fact, if it brings up more questions and more questions and more questions, forget it and leave it alone. And move on. That's what the Lord said. Now, when it comes to this Christmas thing, some people say that it was in the middle of winter and the shepherds and all that stuff wouldn't have been keeping the sheep out in the snow and all these different things, and maybe that's so. I don't know. I told you, I'm not interested enough in the Bible doesn't mention it, so I don't study it. If I think that the Lord didn't want me to know it, there is such thing in the Scriptures. The Bible says, not to be overly wise, why should thy destroy thyself? So too much knowledge about stuff that you don't need in your brain is going to be overkill. And it's not going to do you good, it's going to do you bad. And I need all the brain power I can get, I don't know about you. Now, they say that, just with a little bit of follow-up, and it kind of makes sense in a way, like what I mentioned a while ago about the Jewish calendar and the Jewish timetable, whenever the Lord was here and when he was born and stuff like that, would be more than likely around March and April. Okay? But I can't prove that, and I don't know whether it is. I would be more, if I had to say, if I had to say it to somebody and had to say it, well, I would answer, I don't know. But if they really needed me to say, I would say probably around March or April. I don't know. But everything else, trying to narrow it down and pinpoint it and to try to convince people that is it, is a lie. Because it doesn't exist. The Bible doesn't speak of it. It's not in there. Okay, now, but when it comes to this pagan side of Christmas, the date is very important. Oh, yeah, things come alive with this pagan part. And they're unashamed of it. And like I told you, I got all this information. I don't know much about any of this, but I'm going to give it to you. And maybe you know better about it than I do. And the stuff that I'm reading, some of it that I'm reading, I ain't got no idea what it is. But I got it from a place called the Blissful Moon. And that's a pagan news information / place that give other pagans information. So this is straight out of the pagan side of Christmas and what it's about. It's not from the Bible. It's not from Christmas. Not from Christians. Has absolutely nothing to do with Christmas as far as a Christian would think. But we've looked at the Christian side of this Christmas, and I'm not trying to be a sour apple. I'm just telling you, it's not there. And if you know something better than I know, then give me a call or write me and tell me. I want to know. But I didn't find it. Okay, but when it comes to the pagan side, oh, there's more than you can put in your brain. You find all kinds of stuff out, and they're not ashamed of it. There's all kinds of gods having to do with December the 25th. And all kind of pagan meaning, all kind of pagan worship, all kind of pagan celebration. I mean, it's there. But when it comes to the Christian side, it ain't there. Okay, so on the pagan side. Now, here's a list of some of the pagan gods that had birthdays or are associated with December the 25th. And you can look this stuff up and you can see it for yourself. Apollo, birthday, December 25th. A god called Attis, or Attis, A-T-T-I-S. Bacchus is another god. Dionysus, the son of Zeus, December 25th. Helios, Hercules, Horus, Jupiter. I remind you, all this stuff is off of a pagan information to other pagans that you can look up right now. Jupiter, big one. Mithras, number 10. Nimrod, who eventually became, who came to be worshipped as Baal. All this is December the 25th, according to the ancient Babylonian tradition. Semiramis, later known as the goddess of Astarte, or Asherah, or Ashtoreth. Isis, Ishtar. Her name changed as it went through the different people and the different worshippers and stuff like that, but it was the same goddess, Semiramis, December the 25th. Easter, or Astarte, that's what Astarte is Easter in other pagan religions, and it claimed that after an untimely death, now this is some information on her, that claimed that an untimely death of her son-husband, which she married her husband, a son-husband Nimrod. Now, this is some of their beliefs, the pagan stuff, information given out to other pagans. A full-grown evergreen tree sprang up overnight from the dead tree stump. Semiramis claimed that Nimrod would visit the evergreen tree and leave gifts each year on the anniversary of his birth, which just happened to be on December the 25th. This is the true origin of the Christmas tree. Does the Bible talk about a tree? No. Did Jesus tell us to get a tree on a certain day of the year and hang jingle bells on it? No. Is anything wrong with it? I don't know. We had Christmas trees when I was growing up. And the Christmas tree was always a pain in the hind end, really. Because you had to put that stuff on there. You couldn't walk around it because you were going to break something. You had to climb up under the tree to get something. The thing was just a nuisance most of the time. But it was pretty. I never complained about it. Everybody else liked it. We did it, but we didn't know why we was doing it. If I'd have known all this stuff right here, I'd have felt the same way about it. I thought Christmas was like like a sticker in your shoe or something, or in your sock. It just aggravated me. But some people, I mean, now, remember what I told you last time, the old Christmas tree's up in the attic, out in the garage. And it's one of them ultra push the button and fold out, ploop, 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 and instant Christmas tree. But you can go down to Walmart during the Christmas season and walk in there in their little farm and garden place, and they'll have Christmas trees in there all different sizes, and the smallest size that you can get, probably as high as you need, $100. Now, you tell me what Christmas is all about. When somebody tries to sell you a little tree for $100 on a certain day of the year and no other time. Now, I'm stupid, but I ain't real stupid. Here's another one, Perseus, December 25th. Here's one called Sol Invictus, the unconquered sun. On a pagan piece of information, teaching other pagans what Christmas is about. Here's one of the other ones. Tammuz. That's in your Bible, in the Old Testament. I used to worship that thing, they used to worship Tammuz all the time. He was some kind of god that you'd stand there and cry to and weep and mourn and stuff like that. And I don't know much about it, but I was studying it so I could put it in some preaching. But, gods, there they are. Now, it says, by the time the Roman Empire legalized Christianity in the 4th century, now this is pagan talking about Christianity. By the time the Roman Empire legalized Christianity in the 4th century, most of the other religions in the empire were celebrating the birth of their gods on December the 25th. Now, leading up to December the 25th, in ancient Rome, a festival known as Saturnalia. That's something that's celebrated today among your witches and your all your pagans and stuff like that. Very important day to them, from what I understand. But it is still going on today. A festival known as Saturnalia, or Saturnalia, however, was one of the biggest celebrations of the year. Saturnalia, or Nalia, was a festival during which the Romans commemorated the dedications of the temple of their god, Saturn. So they're saying that the Romans worshipped on this Saturnalia celebration, they worshipped commemorating the dedication of the temple of their god, Saturn, on December the 25th. This holiday began on the 17th of December, and it would last for an entire week until the 23rd of December. Now, that's interesting because the Bible has some holidays or feasts, the Bible calls it, that the Jews were instructed to keep. And some of those, like, for instance, Passover and stuff, lasted 7 days. Isn't that interesting? They would do that. It would start on one day and go all the way up to it. Like that. Most pagan stuff and the devil's stuff is copycat of the Lord's truth. A lot of it. This holiday began on the 17th of December, and it would last for an entire week until the 23rd of December. Saturnalia was typically characterized by gift-giving, feasting, singing, and lots of debauchery. The priest of Saturn would carry wreaths of evergreen boughs in procession throughout the pagan Roman temples. Later on, the Romans also started holding a festival on December the 25th called Dies Natalis Solis Invicti, which means the birth of the unconquered sun. Basically, it was a way for the empire to consolidate all of the December 25th sun god birthdays throughout the empire into one holiday. So, this is pagan newspaper, and a pagan teaching the pagans what Christmas is all about. And you see, giving out, I mean, it was a way to consolidate all the gods and put them all together and have a good time about all the gods. But it's pagan. Didn't mention Christmas in there at all. This didn't come from no Christian, like I'm doing right now, Christian telling you about pagan worship. This is pagan stuff, telling other pagans and teaching them what Christmas is all about. Now, they're not ashamed of this holiday, December 25th, called Christmas. And they call it Christmas. Birthday of the unconquered sun. And all of them, the empire consolidated all the gods of December the 25th birthdays throughout the empire into one holiday. This is from some pagan on the blissful moon and teaching other pagans. So that's stuff that I'm not interested in, not one bit. I could care less about it. It's false. It's like the Lord tells us about, and you go cut down a tree, and you cut the tree in half, and with one part of the tree, you chop it up, and you cook your supper with it, and the other part, you carve it into a god and get on your knees and worship it. You tell me who's the smart one. The Lord says you're ignorant, you're stupid, you're a fool. Said it has eyes but it can't see, it has ears but it can't hear, it has a mouth and can't speak. And you wonder how come God gets mad at this stuff. Because he is God.
He's the living God. And his creation is down here cutting down his trees and bowing down and worshiping. Wouldn't you be offended? Called idolatry. You idolize something that's been put together that's not living, it's not real, rather than him. The Bible says God is a jealous God. He has a name even called jealous. Okay, so as far as pagan and stuff like that, that's all I got. There's a million other pieces of information on that, but that's all we need. You look it up. Start getting one of them names. Hercules, Horus, Jupiter, Saturn, all Perseus, Tammuz, all them. Look it up. Find out what they think about Christmas and what they think about the holiday and what it's all about. And you'll see for yourself. I don't have no problem with it. I didn't need to look all this stuff up to know that pagans worshipped idols and it was around December 25th. But it's interesting, isn't it? As far as knowing that I'm trying to get through to you how big this holiday is. It's worldwide. Where does a holiday get to be that big among 8 billion people? Now, that's just the planet's population, but where does it get to be that big? Well, I can tell you a bunch of reasons, and you could probably tell me a bunch of them, too. Why do you think Christmas is so big among the pagans? Hey, one word we used in that little piece of information, how about debauchery? Greed. Coveting, idolatry, all kinds of reasons. And that's the world. The world does what the world is. And that's what the Bible says. You were once darkness, now are you light. Walk as children of light. Okay. If you're a child of light and it comes to this Christmas, should you be worshiping like these pagans do? Of course not. That's not light. It's not walking as the children of light. So you say, Brother TV, well, I don't worship that. I don't. Good for you. Praise the Lord, you're giving him glory. But why do you observe Christmas? What does Christmas mean to you? What is it? I don't have an answer for you because I don't know what it is when it comes to a Christian. I don't even know where it came up that it had to do with Jesus' birth. I'm not ashamed of Jesus' birth. I talk about Jesus' birth anytime, and I'd give you a gift in the name of Jesus being born. But am I ordered to? No. Does Jesus say anything about it? No. Does he talk about his birthday? No. It's not there. Seemed like if the Lord cared, and I'm not trying to be the Scrooge of the Lord's birthday, and he knows it. But I'm teaching truth. If the Lord wanted us to worship his birthday, he would have said something about that. The Lord said he wanted us to worship him. Nobody, when the Lord was here for them, when the Lord was walking around preaching for 3 years, nobody in the scriptures, according to the scriptures, asked him when his birthday was. Or threw him a birthday party that we're told about. Is the Lord's birthday important? It is to me. But I don't know what day to hold it on. Do you? Now, we're just talking about what does the Bible say? So, another thing. There were not three wise men. Three men riding on camels over such a long distance through inhospitable country infested with thieves and wild animals would have been fools. There was a company of magi, and they brought three different gifts to the Lord, according to Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 11. It says, and when they were come into the house, They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And there's a lot of preaching on those different gifts and what they meant, and they are significant with the Lord's life and his death and things like that that we can get spiritual meaning out of. But another thing is that Joseph and the Lord's mother, Mary, were poor. I mean, they were 2 years into the Lord's. I mean, he was about 2 years old right about there. You notice they went to a house. The Magi went to a house. They didn't go to the stables like all your portrayals in the yards and the pagans present that the wise men went to and he was in the manger. The Lord wasn't in no manger when they got them gifts. He was 2 years old or whatever, somewhere around there. That's why Herod killed all the people's children 2 years old and under, because when he done all the math, he figured the Lord was right about that age and he'd be sure to get him. But it said they went to the house, see. So there's one lie right there. You see all the cows and the donkeys and chickens and everybody else around the Lord's manger and the light shining and Mary and Joseph on the other side. And then you see the men from out in the field were there. And then you see these kings that were there. Well, that's a lie, because the kings never did go to manger. The kings didn't see the Lord as a baby. They seen him about 2 or 3 years old, something like that. And they brought those gifts to him. And I think one reason the Lord had them bring those gifts to him because he was fixing to put them in some traveling mode, and they needed some money. And they needed that gold, and they needed frankincense and myrrh and stuff that they could sell. I don't know, but that's what I imagine, because the Lord sent them down to Egypt right after that, and then they come back up out of Egypt. They was moving around trying to keep the Lord alive because people was trying to kill him right off the bat. But it wasn't three wise men when it comes to that. So that's not Bible either. Another thing, the wise men did not meet with the shepherds in the stable. We just talked about that. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, what I just got through reading there, that they were in a house. He came to the house and saw Jesus as a young child, not a baby, not an infant. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible said, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked," remember the wise men went and asked him, "Where's the child that was supposed to be born?" And he got advice from the Jews, the priests, and said, "What's the scripture say about this child being born?" And they told him, he told them to come back and tell him whenever they found something. He had it in his mind he's going to kill him, but the Lord told him go out the other way. All right, and he was mad about it, and he sent forth and he slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under. Can you imagine that slaughter? Now, there's the birth. There's something that's significant about the Lord's birth. He was 2 years old, but as soon as this Herod found out that he was born and that he existed, he killed everybody's kids in town. From 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Now, that's what had to do. There's something that was significant about the Lord's birth, was that Herod took the adjusted time. Even he didn't know when the birth of the Lord was, but he was trying to find it out, and he done the figuring, and he diligently inquired of the wise men when the child should be born and where it was born and stuff like that, and these wise men and how long it took them to get to him, and you know, doing all the study and everything, and figured he was about 2 years old, and he was. But he wasn't there. And the Lord hit him. So we see that the shepherds were not with the wise men. The shepherds did get to see the child, the baby. And the old prophet that was in the temple got to see the baby. He said, "Lord, now let me die because I've seen your Christ." And, you know, he got to see him when Mary and Joseph brought him into the temple to like they were supposed to at 8 days old. Now, to involve our children in the myth of Santa Claus, now we talk about something else. To involve our children in the myth, and that's all it is a myth. You ever seen a picture of a Santa Claus, a real live photo of him? All kinds of people say Santa Claus over here, Santa Claus over there, Santa Claus is Saint this and Saint that and all this. But who knows? I don't know. Do you know? To involve our children in the myth of Santa Claus is a whole nother story. Now, we're in fact telling them a lie. Now, why would you lie to your children? Moreover, the Santa Claus name after the Roman Catholic cardinal Saint Nicholas, the Roman Catholic cardinal, most often portrayed in a substitute for our Heavenly Father, which they're the only ones that call each other Father, and the Lord commanded us not to do that. We have to be careful that we're not tricked into worshiping idols or men, having been deceived. A Heavenly Father hates idolatry. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 2 through 5. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, "Ye have seen all the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods." I mean, the Lord got mad. And the Lord does hate things in spite of what all your uppity Christians say. The Lord hates just as much as he loves. And this is one thing he hates is idolatry. So why would he have us and instruct us to worship some kind of idol called Santa Claus? And are you going to tell me that Santa Claus around Christmas time is not an idol? You're blind as a bat if you think that. He is an idol. Next time you walk into Walmart and you see Santa Claus standing there, walk up and punch him in the face and knock him over and see what happens. They'll escort you out of there, man. They'll give you a couple prescriptions. I've seen black Santa Clauses, Mexican Santa Clauses, white Santa Clauses. There's all kinds of Santa Clauses. Now, how do we answer this question? Should Christians observe Christmas? With God's Word. Well, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, listen to this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. Here's another scripture, and we'll finish with this. I don't have much. I guess you was looking for a light on, light off kind of study about this, should Christians observe Christmas. This is going to be kind of one of those, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The Bible tells us what to do by telling us what not to do a lot of times. A lot of times. It teaches us how to live by teaching us how not to live. A lot of times. The Lord does not say anywhere in the Scriptures, He doesn't even bring it up, as a matter of fact, Christmas not in the Scriptures, but He definitely does not say, thou shalt not worship Christmas. It doesn't say that. But it does say for us not to have anything to do with idols and idolatry. Now, if you like to give gifts and you like to do things and get together with people and your business, you could do it any day of the year and be just as justified on December the 25th on any day of the year if you're doing it in the name of the Lord and for the Lord's glory and for the right reasons and for the pure reasons and for the lovely reasons and for the honest reasons and for the true reasons, if you're doing it for that. But if you're doing it on December the 25th, just because the world does it on December the 25th, you better check and be very careful that you're not being deceived into worshiping idols, because the Lord hates idols and He hates idolatry, and He doesn't want you to have anything to do with it as a child of God. Here's the last verse I want to read when it has to do with this Christmas business. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, how merciful God is to you, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you thought one thing before, and now you found out the truth, and you think something else now. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, your life, what he's saying there is, he's telling us by the way that we live that we're supposed to train our minds in the manner of what the Word of God says. And train our minds about the truth and the lovely and the pure and the just and the honest and the true things. And train our mind and transform our mind into the way the Lord Jesus Christ thinks about things. And by doing that, we prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're supposed to magnify the Lord by the way that we live. And when it comes to Christmas, this is not probably not been the study that you would imagine when it comes to Christmas, and somebody banging their finger and their hammer in their hand on a pulpit and stuff like that about it and things like that. I don't know what you do about Christmas or how you believe about Christmas and stuff like that, but let me say it this way. Christmas is not mentioned in the Scriptures anywhere, and it doesn't tell you for or against anything having to do with Christmas, with exception of the way that the pagans do it. It definitely tells you not to do that. And if you're doing that, you ought to quit it, if you're doing it in the name of the pagan way of doing it. If you're doing it the way the world does it, if the world does it, you ought to be against it. Because anything the world does, Jesus said the world hated Him, and they're going to hate you. Because they're against Him, and they're against His way. So the Lord tells us to stay away from that, and to separate, and to refrain from it. Okay, so, but if you're having Christmas, and you're glorifying the Lord, and your conscience is all right with it, and you are doing it without hiding anything before the Lord, and you're celebrating His birth, the Bible doesn't tell you that you can't do that. It doesn't say you can't celebrate the Lord's birth. But you're also not to turn the Lord's birth into an, how do you say that, into an idol either. Because Jesus Christ is not a baby, and He's not in the manger, And the Bible, when it speaks about what for us to worship and what we're to look for and what we're to expectation is to be, is the second coming. That's the Jesus that we're supposed to be worshiping. It's waiting on that second coming. The Lord is coming. He died. He was born. He died. He was buried, he resurrected, and he ascended. And the thing that we're waiting on is for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and get us and get us out of here. And then he's going to come back and he's going to make everything straight with everybody else. The second coming, the second part of the second coming, the advent. Okay, but the rapture is when we're going out. That's what we're supposed to be waiting on. And that's what we're supposed to be worshiping. And studying the Word of God and rightly dividing it. Okay? So, I wasn't able to tell you much about it, but I did tell you some. And every bit of it's true. And it's from the Scripture, but as far as giving you Scripture about Christmas, there was nothing to give you. And as far as giving you Scripture about the pagan Christmas, you read that God hates it. And don't be part of it. And as far as you worshiping the Lord's birthday and not to take any glory away from the Lord or his birth, absolutely not. And you know better than that. But it would be no different than celebrating one of your birthdays that you do at your home and nothing wrong with it. You can celebrate the Lord's birthday, but you're not to join in with the world. That's Scripture. So, if you got something you want to tell me about it that I might have made a mistake on or something, I didn't do anything to tell you, but just tell you about what the Bible says. And if I'm wrong about anything, just give me a holler and I'll straighten up my thinking. But I don't think my thinking is wrong because the Bible doesn't talk about it. Okay? So there you go about Christmas. Now, we're going to stop all that, and we're going to, there's nothing else to say about it. But you would be interested. It might be something if you sit down about the pagan side of it and just look at some of them gods and see how that December 25th always pops up. That's what turns me away from it because, I mean, if it's a certain day and it's important to the Lord, it won't have all them pagan names attached to it with the Lord because he don't have anything to do with that. The Lord doesn't ever compromise his holiness and mesh with wickedness. Never, ever, ever. If he ever did, I wouldn't worship him anymore. I love the Lord because he's holy, and I love him for his integrity and because he remains the same. And I can trust him because of that. Can't you? Sure you can. But you might be interested in looking some of that up and seeing about them dates and stuff like that. But the next thing we're going to talk about, we're going to get into this, and it does mention it in the Scriptures, is should Christians observe Easter? Should Christians observe Easter? And it does mention Easter in the Scriptures, so we'll see how that comes out. Okay? All right. Well, it's been good. Some of you probably choked me if I was around, huh? Okay, well, anyway, we had a good study, and I think every bit of it, well, I don't think every bit of it was truth. Every bit of it was scriptural, and I think the Lord was pleased with this study, and I hope that you'll make the adjustments and talk with the Lord about the things that you need to talk to him about and just do it for his glory. Whatever you do, do it for his glory. And without and like Paul said, I have a conscience that's free from guilt. I have a conscience that's not offended when it comes to man, and it's not offended when it comes between me and the Lord. My conscience is clear between me and the Lord, and my conscience is clear between me and men. That's the way to be. So the Lord bless you, and thank you for joining in on this. And like always, God bless you for honoring the Lord by honoring his word and taking time in your life to study God's word and to know his word more thoroughly. Talk to you on the next recording. This is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.